welcome to Big Blend Radio's Food, Wine, and Travel Show, where we go across country and travel the world with members of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. Let's go. Hey, everybody, welcome. Today, we're going to be traveling out to Poland to talk a little bit about history and mostly food, which obviously food of flavors of a region always comes through from the history of an area. But we're also going to find out what some of the natural gems of the region. So that means we get to have travel writer and award-winning photographer Sharon Kurtz back on the show. She's been on our show quite a few times over the years. Well, at least we try to get her every year, which is awesome. And she had a really amazing time in Poland. She's got a story about it up on blendradioandtv.com that you can see now, including her photography. And you can also go to her website, SharonKKurtz.com, and that's Kurtz with a K. All the links are in the show notes, whether you're watching this on YouTube and Facebook or listening on Spotify, Apple, all those places. The links are in the show notes. So welcome back, Sharon. How are you?
Thank you. I'm well, Lisa. Thank you for inviting me.
This is so cool about Poland. You know, we don't hear about Poland, I think, as much as from reading your article as we should. And, you know, it's gone through a lot of tumultuous history. And I think you got to experience some of that. And I heard that you started off with it was going to be 9 days. And this is all through the Polish Tourism Association,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it was originally 9. And I added on 5 more days to Warsaw, because once you've gone that far, you want to see more. And so almost a little more than 2 weeks.
So right on. So you had a good time, it sounds like. So the history, yeah, that's got to be kind of interesting, because you talk about in the article that, you know, we picture Poland as kind of this bleak kind of, you know, from the history and all the, you know, all that it's gone through, but this is not what it is. So did you have some like wow moments while you were there?
Yes, I had never been to Poland, and I mentioned to a few people and they'd say, oh, Poland, why would you go to Poland? So it is surprising that Americans in just don't have a modern idea in their head of what Poland is. Back when they were in the Soviet era, they gained their independence in like 1989. They were considered Eastern Europe, but mm-hmm. Poles like to say we are in Central Europe, and that is true. They are in the center, and it is the most economical place to visit in Europe, and it is green and young and really buzzing and with amazing historical sites as well. So it is a great destination.
I know people got a little nervous about it, especially with what's going on with Ukraine and Russia right now. And, you know, I know people that have actually evacuated to Poland and then they're like, dude, let's stay.
You know?
So did you feel nervous about going there because of that?
No, I didn't, because the border with Ukraine is way up high. And we were in Warsaw, Krakow, and Poznan, nowhere near that. And you heard around in each city about refugees they were taking in, but it wasn't apparent. There weren't like, you know, whole tent cities for refugees or any of that sort.
Okay. So history's rough. I mean, because Auschwitz is not too far away either, right?
Right.
From where you were. So we've got all of that history from World War II. But now, would you say that all of this history, because you've got medieval buildings, I mean, when we talk about a historic downtown, I know you're in Texas, right? You're in Austin now, last time in Dallas. Texas has a lot of history. In fact, I always joke, as soon as you hit Texas, if you think you're going to stop and see all the markers, the historical markers, you'll never get down the road. You'll never get from A to B, because you guys... You love history in Texas, and we're in Texas today. We're in Lubbock. Hey. So to me, it's kind of interesting when you go from American history, we get, you know, of course, our indigenous people take us back thousands of years, the ancient ancestors of the land here. But when you think about going to Europe, that history, like that's for real old.
Poland goes way back in the early days, medieval days. In the times of the first kings around the 1300s, it was the biggest country in Europe. And then they came to this part in history in the 1700s, 1800s, where it was, they were divided up among the richer neighbors, Prussia, Russia, and Austria. So for 100 years, there was no Poland in history. It had disappeared until World War I. And when in the spoils of war, when they divided it up after World War I, Poland became a country once again. But
and
then,
so,
we have World War II, and then we have Soviet occupation. So they have been through a lot.
And then all their history has got to result in this amazing food. And you're talking about, what, 27 Michelin-starred restaurants?
Yes, I was sent, I was invited to come by the Polish Tourism Bureau because Michelin Guide, they're all over the world. They recommend really excellent standards for restaurants. And they came up with a Polish guide for 2023. And it had 27 Michelin recommended restaurants on it in three cities, Warsaw, Krakow, and Poznan. So I went to those three cities. And in 9 days of the trip, I ate in 14 Michelin restaurants.
Well, this is a very sad life you lead.
I know. It is tough. It is
but
tough.
Vodka seems to reign supreme here. And, we always think about vodka only being Russia, but then it makes sense, having that historical background to understand that, vodka is also a huge part of Poland.
It is. It's like the national drink in Poland. And in Warsaw, one of my Michelin restaurants was called the Vodka House. And that was a trip. You had excellent food, but every single course came with two little glasses of vodka for each course. And by the end of the night, you were very, very happy.
Wow. So a little bit, they cook with it too, right?
Yes. And then at that restaurant, they had the National Museum of Vodka, and they had bottles back to the 1300s in this museum.
No.
It was fascinating.
Did they give you vodka to drink while you were there?
Not in the museum, but in the restaurant. Oh, yeah. I had.
Now, did they have that dark vodka? There's like a black vodka or something like that. Or is that a different country, I think?
I don't know about that, but they make it with rye and with wheat and with potatoes. Potatoes is number one. But then in this restaurant for dessert, I had vodka espresso.
Maybe that's what I was thinking. Ooh.
And it was dark and really delicious. So, yeah. I
I
had
think
my fill
that's
of
what, I
vodka.
think I remember you posting that on social media. That's what I'm thinking of. I think you were doing that. I think while you were there or when you came back, I remember something about that.
Vodka flavored, espresso flavored vodka.
Why aren't we doing this now? Next time we do
why
these
don't we
recordings.
have, shoot.
Yeah.
I need to go
Yeah.
get a bottle.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's, we're making big mistakes here on this show. Well, and this is interesting, when you think about the International Food Wine Travel Writers Association, I love that it steps, beyond wine, and we love our wine. Don't we all love our wine? But now you're getting into, the vodkas. But did you drink wine in Poland?
Yes. Of these, to be now in Michelin recommended, you have lots of different levels. And Poland is a very surprisingly inexpensive place to visit. So yes, I went to Michelin recommended restaurants, but they were not expensive. There was only one that was a Michelin star, and that came with a tasting menu with wine for each course. Just as you, in your head, you imagine what eating at a Michelin star, it was all of that. So at a lot of these restaurants, there was wine with each course. And also there are wineries in Poland, even though it's not talked about as a big wine destination, it is up and coming.
Okay. Did you taste Polish wines?
Yes. One restaurant in particular in Warsaw called Declanty, and they have the largest wine cellar in Europe, in Poland, and then really bordering in Europe, and they have their own winery. So I tasted their own type of wine.
Wow. Okay. So this guy, and I heard that you were eating pastries, croissants. I didn't think about croissants in Poland.
In Poznan, the third place I went, they have what's called St. Martin's croissants. And you think, croissants in Poland? Well, it there's all these legends in Poland. Everything you talk about has a legend to go with it. So these St. Martin croissants in like the 1300s, when they were fighting Napoleon or something, in order to keep them from burning down the town, they took them these pastries, and it was on St. Martin's Day. So now they are protected. You can only make them in and have them in Poznan. And they're like 84 layers, big and fat, stuffed with almond paste. Oh, they're delicious.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's worth the
so,
trip.
So now you told me too that there's a donut day.
Yeah.
And we're actually recording this right over Mardi Gras. So we're in time, but by the time this airs, donut day would have passed. But this is something, you know, because when people travel overseas, usually, unlike you who goes to Egypt during COVID for that 1 month that it was open and get your own private guide of King Tut's tomb, you know, I'll never forget that when you're like, I can go, I'm going, that's it. And, but most people, it takes about, you know, 6 months to a year before in planning to go overseas, right? Yeah. Especially a place that, you know, they've never been to. So, you know, for next year, this may be something people may want to add into their itinerary.
Yeah. If you're coming to Europe anyway, you need to think about adding Poland to your itinerary. It's very easy to get to. They have trains, flights.
Okay. Easy to get around, but donut day, when is this?
Oh, yes. So on Thursday coming up in 2 days, it's what's called Fat Thursday. Now, that makes no sense, but what it is in Poland, it's a big celebration, and they have these donuts called pączki. It's not how it's spelled. It's got a Z and a, you know, Polish letters are crazy.
I'm letting you pronounce everything on this show.
But they're called pączki, and so on this day, in 2 days, everybody in the whole country eats these donuts. They're filled with rose flavored jam most of the time.
Oh,
there's places all over for these, but it is the Thursday before Ash Wednesday, and you know that's kind of a Mardi Gras. Everything starts to before that. You have to give up things for Lent.
I don't want to give anything up.
Donut Day or Fat Thursday is coming in a couple days here.
Yeah, from this recording. But when this airs, it'll be past. So plan on this for next year of going to Poland. So, but you can eat those donuts year round. Were you able to eat
them? Have stands everywhere at the train station in town. Just like a donut shop in America, only these are different. They don't have a hole in them. They're fluffy and big and stuffed with jam usually, and really delicious. I had enough of them to know.
Now, is there like a main dish when you talk about entrees and things like that that you would say represents Poland other than vodka and donuts?
Of course, pierogi. Those are the dumplings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They are so good. I don't have a Polish history, and so I never had them routinely in the States, but they're little dumplings filled with everything from potatoes and cabbage to sweets, all kinds. And some of these nice restaurants, one serving I got one time was filled with blood sausage.
Ooh.
That was not my favorite, but they're little, you know.
Some people really love that kind of stuff, you know, so you know, eat it all. That's good. Use all the animal.
The typical, cuisine in Poland is hearty. They have a hunter stew that's very popular. These rolled cabbages, these pierogies and these pączki donuts, but it's all delicious. But then the Michelin star restaurants that I went to and went to learn about, they have a real European flair. It might be Polish. They might use Polish ingredients, but they might be, you know, and French, and Scandinavian, and they have a real global kind of menus.
So when you think about going over, what time of year were you there? Because I'm looking at these flowers in the background here.
Yeah.
It looks very spring.
October.
No way. Okay. So
just in October, and it was that beautiful, just like behind you. The best time to go is spring and fall. And the summers get terribly hot, and the winters, no, it's gray and cold. So spring and fall.
Okay. That's awesome for people to know about, to, you know, going out there. So you go and dine and, you know, sip and bite everywhere, right, in these three cities. But you also took in a lot of sights because you got to have in between walking it off. And, you know, March is Women's History Month. So you have this beautiful photo of a sculpture of a lady and a mermaid, right? And she's got a sword. Don't mess with her, man. She, you know, there's this elegance, but then she's a badass. Am I allowed to say that?
That is, like I said, Poland is full of all these legends, and the symbol of Warsaw is a mermaid with a sword and a shield, and she's the protector of the city. And she's, I sent you a photo of this sculpture, a fountain in the middle of Old Town in Warsaw, and there's a picture while I was there showed World War II. Old Town was devastated down to the ground after World War II. But they found that mermaid. You know, she was all banged up and fallen over. Mm-hmm. But now she's back in her prime spot. And
yeah, so you can't take her down. Yeah. Wow. Wow. So you got to go see all this history here. This is something to think about. Like, here's all these medieval, like old towns. I call them ancient towns, these medieval villages and towns and cities, you know. So World War II comes in, devastates a lot of Poland, right? But it, so it seems, and then here comes the Soviets. Gosh, it's like history repeating, right? Right now, as we look at everything, which is so sad, you know, when you think about rebuilding, does it have, you were saying, like a little bit of a contemporary vibe to it? So is this an energy of, is there a happy feeling and like pride over their country?
Yes, they have a lot of pride, and there are a lot of young people and young families. Just for instance, by the when my press trip was over and I had 5 nights in Warsaw, I was tired of fancy food, to be honest. You know, I didn't want to go in another fancy restaurant. And I just walked down to a very busy corner, went into a Thai restaurant. I've never seen so many families. Everyone was talking and laughing. They were all there with their kids. It's a very young, and I looked around thinking, this could be America. It was just like we are.
It was so Thai food, I wouldn't expect in Poland.
Oh,
see?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
And it was like, as I said, a real inexpensive place to visit. Oh, I ate like a queen, and I don't know, maybe $12 was my meal total.
Wow. Wow. What were your lodgings like? Because aren't the lodgings pretty smaller, like in hotels in Europe?
Well, they put me up at very, no, that's not quite true. In Warsaw, I stayed, when I was on a press trip, I stayed in, next to the train station in a high-rise building, and it was very modern. You know, you wouldn't guess you weren't in New York City. But this is my most fun place that I stayed is I went back to Warsaw, and using my husband's Marriott points, Bonvoy points, I stayed in a palace for 5 nights. It's called Hotel Verte. It's a Marriott property. And back in the day before the war, the king owned two palaces. One was for his sister and one was for him. But the war came, and underneath these palaces to this day are these tunnels where the resistance used to fight.
Wow.
And so back before, a long time ago, there's a painter from Italy called Canonello. I can't say that, but he came to Poland and at the Pope, King's request, painted all of these images of Warsaw. And then, so these two palaces, they were just terribly bombed, but they found these paintings and they rebuilt them just from the paintings, to be exactly the same.
Wow. Wow.
So that's where I stayed, right outside of Old Town.
This you know, country has this, you know, just talking to you and reading your article and listening, just, you know, and then looking at the photos, it has this spirit of hope, not just pride, but hope. So, you know, as all these, you know, as we look at the world, like eventually we all just need to turn the TV off and the news off, you know, because it's devastating what's going on in the world. However, travel opens your eyes to some really horrific history, but also tells the story of resilience and renewal and rebirth. And that seems to be what's happened with Poland. And so gives a sense of hope moving forward in the world right now.
And now they're in NATO. They use their, and in the EU, they use their own currency, though. Again, it's hard to say Zlotchki or
Zlotskis.
Yeah, it's very strange. But they use their own currency, but they are in NATO and in the EU. And
that's
yes,
cool.
That's exactly right. You know, one of my favorite places to go in Warsaw on my last day was, I got a hint about this place. The University of Warsaw isn't too far from the old town where I was. They have the largest roof garden in Europe. It's an acre and a half.
No way.
Yeah. Everything is so green. You go up these steps and with like water coming down and all these paths above the library roof. It was just the most amazing place with these views of Warsaw, you know, from every side.
Wow. You talk about having green spaces throughout. And that's something, I think it's one of the first things people do is start cultivating the outdoors. You know, it's one of the easiest things at times just to, because flowers help everything, you know? So
it was so beautiful.
So with the green spaces, and you're talking about this rooftop garden, do you think these restaurants are working with local farmers? Do they have their own kitchen gardens? Did you see any agriculture?
Yes, in Warsaw, another one of their symbols is the bee, because they have a very vibrant beekeeping vibe there in the top of hotels and in the parks, and you can take beekeeping classes and they collect and sell their honey. So
oh, man.
The outdoors is really important to the country.
Ah, that is so cool. It's fun to hear about all of this. And then you went to a lot of museums too.
I did. In Warsaw, you get a balance. It's a vibrant young with a lot of hope, but there's so much pain in their history. And they don't shy away from that. I went to the Warsaw Uprising Museum in Warsaw when they were fighting the Nazis and against, you know, they just fought to the last man. And they had a whole museum that was interactive about how it happened, what happened. And then in Warsaw, they have a museum called the Poland Museum of Jewish World History of Polish Jews. And it's a museum that is fascinating about Judaism from the beginning of time in Poland to the modern day.
Oh, cool.
It was fascinating to learn. And then they have very sad parts of their history, of course.
Sure.
So, but anyway, you have a balance there. They don't shy away from their past, but they are looking forward with hope.
So I know Warsaw was the main place that you went to, and obviously the biggest city. What was Krakow like?
Oh, Krakow was my favorite. That is like a medieval city. During World War II, one of the Nazi officers had his headquarters there, and it was such a beautiful city. I might have the story not quite right, but they didn't want to bomb it, and they did not. And all of that original architecture is still there, still standing there for everyone to enjoy. So Krakow is like the cultural center of Poland. It's not the biggest city. I think it might be second or third, but it's the cultural capital, and they have the largest medieval square of any European city. It's just massive, like 10 acres. And
that's cool.
With beautiful architecture everywhere.
Wow, that's awesome. And then Poznan, am I saying that right?
Yes, Poznan is fascinating. Not very many people, Americans, go there, but Poznan actually is the first where Poland started, like in the 1300s. That's where the first king lived. And they're known, you know, all these cities, they have their legends, and they're known for these two fighting billy goats. So everywhere you go in town, whether it be on a door knocker or a bronze sculpture or in the clock tower, they have these fighting billy goats that come out at noon every day, turn to one another, and they butt heads like this in this old medieval clock tower.
That is cool.
And that's that's a legend from the way back when, it's quite involved, but these two mischievous billy goats were going to be cooked for dinner, but they escaped. And so since they escaped, they were always playing. And so they're the motto, the legend to this day. But Poznan is fascinating. It's the oldest city in Poland. And they have there a beautiful central square like Poland tends to have. But then the first mathematicians, before, you know, the Enigma machine that helped World War II, we know about, there was a movie about it and the prime but they came from Poznan, these mathematicians. So they have an Enigma museum in Poznan.
Wow.
It's interactive and you can go in and you can learn how they did ciphers and codes and work your way through. And there were all these school children there doing the little puzzles.
So this is a lot to do, you know, like a lot to experience and a lot of food. So you definitely, did you get a lot of walking in?
I did. I came back. I don't think I gained a pound, but it sounds like all I did was eat, but I walked and walked all the time.
And easy to get around once you fly in?
Yes, you fly into Warsaw. I think there is an international airport in Poznan because in addition to be this historic center, it is like a big business. They have international trade shows in Poznan from all over the world. They fly in there for business. But the old medieval part is what I was interested in. So most of the time you fly into Warsaw and then you take the train. So I took the train. It was only 3 hours down to Krakow and then about 4.5 down to Poznan.
Oh,
And it's
cool.
very easy and inexpensive to get around.
So this is like quite inexpensive. Would you go back?
Oh,
Or do you
yeah.
feel you, yeah?
Because surprisingly, now this was because I'm a writer and they wanted me to go write, but I have a history. My great, great, great grandparents came from that Prussia area of Poland in the 1800s.
Wow. Yet you didn't eat pierogies. Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. But I didn't
this
find.
Isn't wow. This is amazing. That history, you know, when you start digging in,
Yeah.
I think this is like one of the bigger waves of tourism and travel now is, you know, family history travel,
Yes.
roots travel.
You were exactly right. So I didn't, it, I learned that my ancient old relatives, great, great, greats, they immigrated to Michigan back in the 1800s when Michigan was not even a state yet. And they had all
Wow.
this land, and the people at that time were having difficulty, not only religious difficulties, but economic. And they took the boat and got out of there. And that's where my father's lineage comes from, like the late 1800s is in Michigan from Poland.
Wow, this is so cool. And how did you end up in Texas? And she said, I want some heat.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Ohio and I was a dancer and I went to Texas to join a dance troupe in college and I never went home. So isn't that funny
Wow, I didn't
how
know that
life
about you.
happens?
Oh, see, oh yeah, we always have to get some scandal and gossip. You know, not that dancing is scandalous, but it could be.
Oh, we were pretty wholesome, but my dream was actually to be a New York City Rockette, but that never happened. And I wasn't tall enough. In, you know, I think if I went and that was my dream, I would have been very disappointed because they wouldn't have taken me.
Wow. Well, everyone, when it comes to Poland, again, the links for Sharon are in the show notes, also her website. We also will have the Polish Tourism Bureau website in there. And also for the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association, what we say IFTWA, because it's much easier. But now, how long have you been a member? Because you've been on the show, I think.
At least four times, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And I think I've been a member since 2019.
Okay,
So
cool.
5 years.
Yeah.
It is very beneficial for writers because it's my community. It's my colleagues. That's where you network and you make connections with destinations and other writers. And they have a really great professional development program where you can get better by keep upping your game, your writing game.
That's cool. And are you going to go to their conference right this year?
Yes, it's going to be in the Finger Lakes area of New York in September, and I will be there.
Drinking wine.
Yes, the Finger Lakes is known for wine. That's why we're going, I'm sure. Yeah.
And you're going to do Steuben County, which is beautiful, beautiful. That whole upstate New York region, we haven't done as much as, I mean, we've done like itsy bitsy, bitsy part of it. And all I know is like, wow, I want to hang out here. Maybe not in winter. I've done enough snow for this year and this whole past winter to last me a lifetime. But it just is absolutely gorgeous up there. So I think you're going to have a good time. And I think the conferences are great because people, you know, we all do all these Zoom things and everything, but meeting in person and then, you know, just even exploring the area because they always have these press trips that are connected too.
Press trips before and then after, and then we write about our experiences. We place with publications as well as the IFTWA magazine is the food, wine, travel magazine.
Yeah, it's great. And then they have also, of course, the different lectures and seminars and all of that good stuff. So workshops and awesome. That's going to be great. So everyone check that out for September. If you're in the tourism industry, whether a writer, whether you're a winemaker, a destination, go check it out, ifwtwa.org. So before you go, where is the next destination?
Well, actually, it's next week. I'm going to Port Aransas, Texas has a whipping crane festival. In these whipping cranes that are 5 feet, they're the biggest migrating bird there is, land in the Texas Gulf Coast. And they
I've been wanting to go there for years. And that whole region, you know, the ocelot and all of that are coming back through there. That is like an area of Texas that must be explored, and you're doing it. I'm jealous.
And now that I live in Austin, I'm that much closer. Texas was north, Dallas was north, and Austin central. So it's easy to get down to the Texas Gulf Coast.
It's easy to get to the wine country, too.
Yes, that's right. Right around the corner from me. I mean, just Wimberley, Texas. You've heard about that in the Hill Country. That's only 14 miles from my house.
Oh, well, what a sad life. Sad life, Sharon. It's always good to have you on the show. Everyone, SharonKKurtz.com is the website, and that's with a K. So thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Lisa. It was fun. Next time I'll bring us some espresso-flavored vodka.
Okay.
It shows.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's Food, Wine, and Travel Show featuring members of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. We encourage you to visit their website. We say IFTWA, which is IFWTWA.org. You can also follow us at BigBlendRadio.com. Happy travels, everyone!